بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, this is our 33rd session. 33rd session. Level 3 fiqh, Arabic lessons in fiqh, Islamic University Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And this is our 33rd session, but it's our first session dealing with the book of Zakat, Kitab al-Zakat. Alhamdulillah, last week we completed Kitab al-Salah, yani with the questions at the end of that session. And what I'm going to recommend today is as we begin Kitab al-Zakat, it's not as long as Kitab al-Salah, but what I'm going to recommend is that you look at the questions at the end of the section and start answering them as we go through the chapters. It will be a lot easier in the end. Okay, this is a recommendation. Whoever pays attention to it will find that they have benefited tremendously. And those who don't listen will find at the end that you're going to have a lot of work to do trying to answer all those questions. Okay? So, advice I'm giving you is based on experience. Based on experience. Write the answers to the questions as we go through the topics. Your answers will be thorough and they will be more complete and perfect because it will be fresh in your mind as opposed to when you go back and try to look at some lessons that we had 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, trying to remember the discussions that we had. All right. Wa'iyakum, wa'iyakum. Okay, so for today's class, I had suggested that you look at this chapter, preview it. We're going to be covering the definition on page 53 of Zakat. It's ruling the hukum concerning Zakat on page 54. And we're also going to be covering yani who it is that is obligated to fulfill the obligation of Zakat on page 55. I also listed some secondary references that you might find some of the topics that we're going to deal with. Some of the topics that we're going to be dealing with, you'll find some points related to them in Al-Wajiz, Fi Fiqh Al-Sunnah Wal-Kitab Al-Aziz. Initially, we're just looking at the first few pages from page 215. We're going to see something from that book. Bulugh Maram, that is the commentary of Shaykh Safi Rahman, Al-Mubarak 40, Rahimahullah. On pages 172 to 183, and he deal with this topic. And the Ikhtiyarat of Sheikh al-Albani, pages 201 to 214, deal with subjects related to Zakat. These are different issues that the Sheikh has expressed his view or concern or his opinion about. And sometimes some of his views are different than the majority or what is well known. And we'll look at some of those points as we go through this topic on a couple of things we're going to find some interesting comments that we just want to look at both sides of it from. So these are some of the references that I'm going to be referring to from time to time. I'm not always going to refer to any one of them, but from time to time I'm going to be looking at the ta'liqat of Shaykh Safi Rahman al-Mubarak 40, rahimahullah, and other times I'll be looking at the other references, secondary references that we have here. Okay, the first topic that we want to look at under Kitab al-Zakat, أولاً تعريف الزكات. أولاً تعريف الزكات. And I may have mentioned this before, or you yourselves may have observed and came to know from your own studies that normally in any subject related to fiqh, the scholars usually start with the ta'rif. The ta'rif. What is the definition of this thing that we're going to talk about? If we're going to talk about salat, we want to know what is the definition of salat. What is salat? Linguistically, and what is it technically? In the technical terminology. What is it linguistically in the Arabic language? Lugatan. And what is it istilahan? In the technical language of Islam, in the religious terminology. So this is the first thing that we're going to start with. I'm going to look at the definition that they have given us here on page 53. And I'm also going to look at, just briefly, the definition that Shaykh Safi Rahman al-Mubarak 40, rahimahullah, has given in his commentary on Bulugh al-Maram. And those of you who have been with us from the beginning of this level 3 fiqh, then you know that Shaykh Safi Rahman, rahimahullah, has given sometimes some very meticulous, beautiful benefits in his discussion or his commentary on this very, very important book, Bulugh al-Maram. In any case, today, inshallah, we're going to look at his definition also and compare it to this definition in the sense that they overlap and pretty much saying the same thing you might find just a few points of benefit from what he mentioned there that we can add to what is mentioned here in our textbook. Basically, to answer the questions for Kitab al-Zakat, yani you can rely upon the text of the book itself, but sometimes we're going to add some extra information for benefit. Okay, so awwalan ta'rif al-Zakat. Al-Zakat, al-Zakatu fil lughati an-nama'u wal-ziyadatu. Yani fil lugha, linguistically, al-Zakat is an-nama'u wal-ziyadatu. An-nama'u wal-ziyadatu, meaning? Increase. Yani an-nama means growth, growing, something that's growing, and az-ziyada means increasing, increase. Naam. So az-zakat linguistically it means something that is growing, something that is increasing, something that entails growth and increase. This is the linguistic definition. However, it has been used to refer to other meanings. So yani before we look at the technical definition of zakat according to the scholars of fiqh, we're going to look at some of the other usages of the word zakat. Okay, so first they said yutlaqu ala al-madhi, yutlaqu ala al-madhi. I'm sorry, tutlaqu ala al-madhi, yani that the word zakat is sometimes applied to the meaning of praising al-madh, kama fi qawlihi ta'ala, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فلا تزكوا أنفسكم فلا تزكوا أنفسكم يعني هو أعلم بمن اتقى. This is an ayah that we should be familiar with. فلات don't claim piety, don't ascribe piety or righteousness to yourselves, for indeed Allah knows best who has attained taqwa. يعني Allah, He knew us when we were brought from the earth, yani our father Adam. And he knew us when we were in the wombs, in the stomachs of our mothers. And therefore he knows, yani our full condition, even better than we know ourselves. Yani we didn't know our start, our beginning, yani when Adam was created from the earth, nor what was going on when we were in the stomachs of our mothers. But Allah knows all of that, and he knows what's now, he knows what we do, he knows what we think, he knows everything. Now, yeah. It sounds familiar, right? Sounds familiar now. Okay. So tutlaqu yani kalimat zakat tutlaqu ala al-madhi. It is sometimes used to apply to the meaning of praising, as in the saying of Allah the Most High, do not praise yourselves. Do not ascribe purity, righteousness, piety to yourselves. For indeed Allah, He knows best who has achieved the taqwa. This is the 32nd ayat in Surah An-Najm. Surah An-Najm is surah number 53. وَتُطْلَقُ أَيْدًا يعني كلمة الزكاة تُطْلَقُ is also applied على تطهير. تطهير meaning cleansing, purification. كَمَا فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The 9th ayah from Surah Shams. Surah Shams is number, surah number? 93. Yeah, I think it's 93, but somebody can check. Surah Layl is 92. 93. 93, right? Okay. MashaAllah. This is why it's important to check. This is actually my job to check, but in any case, I'll hand over some of the work to you guys. Okay, so this ayat, yani, is also, yani, an indication of one of the applications of the meaning of the word zakat, yani, here to mean a tathir, purification. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Yani, he has indeed succeeded. He is successful who has purified it. Purified what? A nafs. Man zakkaha. Yani purified the nafs. So here, the meaning of zakat, here the meaning is purification. وَتُطْلَقُ عَلَى الصَّلَاحِ فيقال رجل زكي أي زائد في الخير. So another application of the word zakat is الصلاح. يعني it may be said about someone that he is رجل زكي يعني meaning زائد في الخير. Meaning what? An increase. يعني a person has an increase in goodness. يعني an extra amount of goodness. يعني beyond the norm, beyond most of the other people. So he's referred to as what? رجلٌ زكيٌ. يعني he has a lot of خير, a lot of goodness, صلاح, righteousness, piety. This is some of the meanings of the word الزكاة, or how it is used. Then we have the technical definition. الزكاة في اصطلاح الفقهاء حق يجب في المال البالغ نصابا للأصناف الثمانية المنصوص عليها في كتاب الله تعالى. يعني الزكاة in the technical language of the scholars of jurisprudence, the fuqaha. يعني fuqaha is the plural of faqihun, faqih. يعني in this technical language of the scholars of fiqh, of jurisprudence, the meaning of zakat is haqqun, a right, yajibu, which is obligatory, fil mal al-balighi nisaban. يعني it's obligatory to be a right that people have. That's obligatory on the person who have wealth. It's obligatory on that person concerning the wealth that has reached the minimum amount. Al-mal al-balig nisaban. Yani the wealth that has reached the minimal amount. Yani when it reached that minimum amount, then it becomes obligatory for a person to pay zakat on it. If it didn't reach the nisab, that fixed amount, if it didn't reach nisab, then there's no obligatory zakat on it. Person can give charity freely, willingly, voluntarily if they want, but it's not obligatory. So we're talking about when it reached the minimum amount, which is called nisab, then it became obligatory, and it became obligatory for the person to give it, and it became the right of the people who are entitled to receive it. The right of the people who are entitled to receive it. Here, this is the second part of the definition. Haqqun, a right that is obligatory concerning the wealth that has reached the nisab, lil asnafi al-thamaniyati, for those eight categories, categories of people, al-mansus alayha, which have been specifically mentioned, al-mansus alayha, these eight categories have been specifically mentioned where? In the book of Allah, the Most High. Where is it mentioned in the book of Allah, these eight categories? Surah At-Tawbah. 9th surah, ayah 60. 9th surah, ayah 60. Okay, so here, al-mansus alayha mean that they are mentioned specifically by text in the book of Allah, in this particular case, in Surah At-Tawbah, 9th surah, 60th ayah. Okay, I wrote a note on my paper here. It says, unzur ta'aliq ala bulug maram. Sheikh Safiyur Rahman al-Mubarak Fouri rahimahullah, page 172. Okay, so that's a reminder to me that I want to go back and look at the speech, the kalam, the commentary of Sheikh Safiyur Rahman. Asnaf is the plural of sinf, yani a category or group. Yani al-asnaf al-thamaniya, the six categories that are mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah. Eight categories. Al-thamaniya. Eight categories mentioned Surah At-Tawbah. Okay? So, now, before we go on, after looking at this definition, we want to look at and compare the definition that Shaykh Safiyur Rahman, Mubarak Fouri Rahimahullah, gave in his commentary on Bulugh Maram. He says on page 172, under the chapter Kitab al-Zakat, yani, he's giving commentary on the title of this chapter, Kitab al-Zakat, and he says, Zakat hiya lugatan annama, ay al-ziyada, wa tathir. Yani, similar to what we read there, he said that linguistically zakat is nama. That means It nama means ziyada. Nama means ziyada. Yani something that's growing, it's increasing. It's increasing. What tathir, and it also means, and nama also means a tathir, purification. Innama sumiyat as zakat zakatan, and indeed the very reason why zakat has been given this name, zakat, why this action, yani this process, this duty, this worship, why it has been called zakat? لِأَنَّهَا تُطَحِرُ الْمَالِ Because the giving of zakat purifies the wealth. Yani a person's wealth is purified by giving zakat. If the zakat is not given, it becomes corrupted. So the process of zakat actually purifies a person's wealth. So this is one of the meanings of zakat, yani at-tathhir, because it actually purifies the wealth. Not only that, وَتُطَحِّرُ صَاحِبَ الْمَالِ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ And it also purifies, not only the wealth, it purifies the person who owns that wealth from what? From sinning. Because zakat is obligatory. If a person doesn't give the zakat, they're falling into sin. So not only it purifies the wealth, it purifies the person from the sin. From sins in general, and specifically the sin of zakat. But sins in general, because yani good deeds remove evil deeds, right? So zakat is one of the best of good deeds. It's one of the arkan of Islam. Then he says, وَتَزِيدُ مَالَ الْمُزَكِّي Not only it purifies the wealth, but it also increases the wealth of the person who gives zakat. And the person who gives zakat, the act of giving zakat increases his wealth. And didn't the Prophet ﷺ said that sadaqah does not decrease wealth? Huh? Wealth is not decreased by sadaqah. Rather, it is increased. And this is from also the meaning of zakat. That from its meanings is what? An-nama, az-ziyada. By giving zakat, the wealth actually is increased. وَتُوجِبُ نَمَاءَ أَجْرِهِ And it also, giving zakat, necessitates the growth of his ajr. His what?
Reward.
His reward. So, the shaykh, he says what? It purifies the wealth. It purifies the person who gives it. It increases the wealth, and it increases the reward of the person who gives it. This is why I said, yani, the shaykh, his commentary is beneficial. And what we read in the book is the basic definition of zakat. But what we read here is, yani, a fa'ida. This is what we call the fa'ida, yani, the extra benefit. Extra benefit. And then the shaykh also adds to what he says concerning the definition of zakat. He gives us, yani, something above and beyond the definition. وَاخْتُلِفَ فِي أَوَّلْ وَقْتْ أول وقت فرضيتها يعني there's difference concerning when was the beginning of the time of it being made obligatory يعني when was zakat made obligatory he said فالأكثرون على أنها فرضت في السنة الثانية من الهجرة يعني most of them يعني الأكثرون means what most of the scholars they hold the view that it was made obligatory in the second year of the hijrah Yani the second year after the Prophet migrated from Mecca to Medina. قَبْلَ فَرْضْ رَمَضَانِ Yani before the fast of Ramadan was made obligatory. Zakat was made obligatory first. That's according to the majority view. وَقَالَ الْمُحَقَّقُونَ What are the مُحَقَّقُونَ? Yani what is the muhaqqiq? Yani from حَقَّقَ يُحَقِّقُ تَحْقِيقًا Somebody who checks, verifies, researches. Yani meticulous researcher. Person who goes into the details of the matter. They don't just take what's on the surface. The muhaqqiq is the one who checks out. People are saying things and people are just believing it. But the muhaqqiq, he doesn't do that. He examines, investigates, verifies what's correct and what's not. What's true and what's not. The shaykh is saying, that's what the majority view is. وَقَالَ الْمُحَقَّقُونَ But those who are the meticulous researchers from amongst the scholars, they said, وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ إِنَّهَا فُرِضَتْ بِمَكَّةِ إِنَّهَا فُرِضَتْ بِمَكَّةِ not in the second year of the Hijrah. Furidat bimakka. Tafsil. وفصلت أحكامها بالمدينة في السنة الثانية من الهجرة. So they said, no, in reality, zakat was made obligatory in Mecca. But the details of its rulings came in Medina in the second year after the Hijrah. So what's the difference between the majority view and the minority view of the Muhaqqiqun? Yeah, the difference is the majority say, yani it was made obligatory in the second year of the Hijrah in Medina. The Muhaqqiqun say the details of it were made clear in the second year, but it was originally made obligatory in Mecca, yani before the Prophet migrated. So this is also a benefit that the Shaykh has given us here, showing us that sometimes some of the scholars yani just give us the general yani information about a thing, and some scholars go deep into it and bring out some other points that may also be of benefit. This is in reference to the definition. The second point. I was reading from the Ta'liq, the commentary of Sheikh Safi al-Rahman al-Mubarak 40 on his commentary on Bulugh Maram. Okay, if anybody didn't receive that book in this class, then just send me an email, remind me, inshallah we'll send you the PDF file for it. It's a very important book, actually. I have the book, the hard copy of the book I bought years ago. I've been reading it for many years. And now, alhamdulillah, you don't have to buy it. If you want, you can just get download PDF file and read it on your telephone. But me, I like to read from a book. So, I have my books, alhamdulillah, some of them. Okay, so this is in reference to the definition of ta'rif as zakat. And if we turn to page 54, it says, ثانياً. Yani secondly, حكم الزكات. حكم الزكات meaning? The ruling concerning zakat. Here we mean, is it obligatory? Is it mustahab? Is it, makruh? Is it haram? What's the حكم شرعي concerning الزكات? They begin by saying, here, أَحَدُ أَرْكَانُ الْإِسْلَامِ الْخَمْسَةِ. Yani, الزكات is what? One of the pillars out of five. One of the five pillars of Islam. Yani, أَحَدْ أَرْكَانُ الْإِسْلَامِ الْخَمْسَةِ. One of the five pillars, الخَمْسَة is not describing أركان. And Islam is مُضَافٌ إِلَيْهِ, right? So it's the five, one of the five pillars of Islam. وَهِيَ الرُّكْنُ الثَّالِثُ بَعْدَ الشَّهَادَتَيْنِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَهِيَ الرُّكْنُ الثَّالِثُ بَعْدَ الشَّهَادَتَيْنِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. It is the third pillar of Islam after the two shahadas and the salat. Yani the two shahadas, the shahadatan is the rukn al-awwal, and the salat is rukn al-thani, and the zakat is ar-rukn al-thalith. Ar-rukn al-thalith ba'da shahadatayn was-salat. Wa hiya faridatun wajibatun bil-kitabi was-sunnah wal-ijma'i. Wa hiya faridatun wajibatun bil-kitabi was-sunnati wal-ijma'i. And it is a farida. Yani zakat is a farida, one of the obligatory duties that has been made wajib based upon the book, the sunnah, and the consensus of the scholars. It is an obligatory duty that has been made obligatory based upon what is found in the book, yani al-Quran, and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the ijma' consensus of the Muslim scholars. No difference of opinion concerning it being wajib, fard. فَمُنْكِرُ فَا What is the meaning of fa here? Look, hold on, slow down. There's no shart here. Yani fa, the meaning of fa here is, after making this statement that it's a rukn of the arkan of Islam, that it's a wajib made obligatory by the Quran, the Sunnah, and ijma, fa here means then as a result of that, therefore, as a result of that, since it is something that its obligation is textually mentioned in the Quran itself, in the Sunnah, and there's ijma' about it. There's ijma', there's no, it's not a matter of what, there's some proof for it, but there's some difference of opinion about it. No, there's ijma'. Therefore, as a result of that, the munkir, yani the one who rejects, who denies its obligation, then this person is a kafir. Murtad an al-Islam. Munkiru wujubiha. Since it's being obligated is confirmed in the book and the sunnah and by ijma', therefore the one who rejects its obligation, he is a kafir. A murtad, apostate from Islam. What is a murtad? Yani irtadda means that a person has turned away, going outside of, yani left Islam. Murtad an al-Islam. Person who has apostated, going outside of Islam. The one who rejects what? That it's obligatory. The person who says, zakat is not obligatory. This person is a kafir. This person has left Islam, if they were a Muslim ever. They became a murtad. Even though he makes salat. Yani Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when the people decided after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they wasn't giving up any zakat no more, he said, whoever separated zakat from salat, he will make war against them. Whoever gave something in the time of the Prophet, they're going to give it now, or we're going to kill them. It came, salat and zakat came in the Quran together in the same sentence, so many times in the Quran. I don't know, 80, 90 times came in the Quran, salat and zakat. And that's why I always say when we pray, join to your salat some zakat. Join, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, join the zakat to the salat. We also should make sure when we pray, also, yani connect to your salat some zakat. فَأَمَّا وُجُوبُهَا بِالْكِتَابِ. Then we said that it being obligatory has been confirmed in the book, in the sunnah, and the ijma'. So now we want to see what came in the Quran and what came in the sunnah to confirm the obligation of zakat. أَمَّا وُجُوبُهَا بِالْكِتَابِ. So as to its obligation in the book, the Quran, فَلِقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Then it is based upon the saying of Allah the Most High in Surah An-Nur 24, Surah 56, ayat, وَأَقِمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ. Yani Allah said, وَأَقِيمُ, I'm sorry, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Yani أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ means what? Establish the salat. Yani this أَقِيمُ is a fi'l amr. So it means that Allah is commanding us. He commands us to establish the salat, and وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ, and He commanded us to give the zakat. These are both commands, and they're connected together in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us in His ayah to give the, to offer the salat and to offer the zakat. Likewise, in the book of Allah, from amongst the many ayahs in the Quran, قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَلِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 103rd ayat. Saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً, meaning? صَدَقَة. Take from their amwal, from their mal, from their wealth, صَدَقَة. Take it. Yani Allah is commanding the Prophet to take the صَدَقَة, yani from their wealth. This صَدَقَة here is not as we commonly think in English. We say, oh, anybody want to give صَدَقَة, meaning voluntarily. Here, the word sadaqah doesn't mean voluntary, it means zakat, obligatory. Okay, so sadaqah doesn't always mean voluntary, even though in common usage we say zakat is the obligatory charity and sadaqah is voluntary charity. Not so. In the Quran, in more than one place, the word sadaqah is used to represent obligatory charity, yani that is zakat. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. This sadaqah, this zakat, being taken by the Prophet ﷺ, is a means of cleansing them and purifying them due to or through or by means of the sadaqah. وَلِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, and also based on his saying, yani Allah the Most High, وَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِهَا. And there's a printing mistake in this ayah. They have kasra underneath the ha. It should be underneath the del. وَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِهَا. Surah Al-An'am, which is the 6th surah, 141st ayat. Yani the meaning of this ayat, give its rights. يَوْمَ حَصَادِهَا, on the day of its harvest. Yani this is in reference to the obligation of zakat on farming, yani on agriculture, yani on the day of its harvest. So this ayat is also critical for us to keep in mind in terms of yani when we talk about zakat, usually we're looking at the nisab, the minimum amount, and we're also looking at it has to be yani the person has to have it in their possession for a whole year, yani the hawl. But in reference to agriculture, this ayat is the proof what? That when it is harvested, it's due to give the zakat on it. وَقَوْلِهِ, and also the saying of Allah the Most High, وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ لِسَعِلْ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. Surah Al-Ma'arij, 70th Surah, 24th and 25th Ayat. يعني وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ. يعني the meaning is, and those, Allah is describing the believers here, and those who, there's a right that is well known in their wealth. Yani they recognize, they accept that, yani that in their wealth, there's a right. Yani that the people who are needy have a right over some portion of their wealth. That the people have some right over some portion of their wealth. وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ مَعْلُومٌ, a well-known right, لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ, for those who request. And those who refrain from, yani who are, yani shy, yani naam. So these are some of the ayats in the Quran that mention, yani in this ayah, haqqun ma'loom. Haqq means what? That this is a right. This is not something you're just doing out of the kindness of your heart. Rather, the people who are needy, who are poor, those people who are entitled to receive charity, they have a right over it. وَأَمَّا مِنَ السُّنَّةِ, as far as that which came in the sunnah, فَلِحَدِيثِ إِبْنِ عَبَّاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَمَّا بَعَثَ مُعَاذًا إِلَى الْيَمِنْ قَالَ إِنَّكَ تَعْتِي قَوْمًا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ فَدَعُوهُمْ إِلَى شَهَادَةِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And I'll stop there. Yani in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, that the Prophet ﷺ, yani when he missioned Mu'adh to Yemen, yani Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, he said to him, indeed, you are going to a people who are from the Ahlul Kitab. فَدَعُوهُمْ إِلَى شَهَادَةٍ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So what? Call them to bear witness that nothing deserves your worship except Allah. وَأَنِّي Rasulullah, and that I am the Messenger of Allah. فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا لِذَٰلِكَ, if they obey, if they comply with that, yani they accept what you have said, they submit and surrender to it, فَأَعْلِمْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ افْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ خَمْسَ صَلَوَاتٍ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ. Then teach them, inform them, make them to know that Allah, the Mighty and the Majestic, has made iftarada, made fard. Yani iftarada is from the, yani eighth form of the mazid verbs. Ifta'ala, naam. From farada, ifta'ala, iftarada alayhim sadaqa fi amwalihim. Then let them know, I'm sorry, iftarada alayhim khamsa salawat. Yani make them to know that Allah has made obligatory upon them 5 prayers in every day and night. Meaning in every single day, during the course of the day and the night, there are 5 obligatory prayers. That's if they first accept that there's nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad ﷺ is the Messenger of Allah. Then, after that, once they accept that, after they have accepted that, meaning that what? That you shouldn't be telling people that they have to pray and they didn't yet testify to the oneness of Allah. But first they have to enter Islam by shahadatain. And then, now it became yani obligatory to call them to the salat, 5 prayers in the day and the night. فَإِنْهُمْ أَطَاعُوا لِذَٰلِكَ فَعَلِمْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى افْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ. And then if they comply, if they obey, if they comply with that, then inform them, make them to know that Allah the Most High has made obligatory upon them صَدَقَةً فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Yani that there is sadaqah concerning, yani from their wealth, in their wealth. تُؤْخَذُوا مِنْ أَغْنَائِهِمْ وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ تُؤْخَذُوا مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ وَتُرَدُّوا إِلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. Yani تُؤْخَذُوا مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ. It should be taken from their rich, the wealthy. أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ وَتُرَدُّوا إِلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. تُرَدُّوا يعني رَدَّ يَرُدُّوا. Returned and should be returned to their poor. And there's also a note here in this hadith, يعني تُغَذُوا مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ وَتُرَدُّوا إِلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. يعني some of the scholars say the meaning is that the zakat, when it's taken from the wealthy, it should be given to the poor of those people. تُرَدُّوا إِلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. يعني it's taken from the wealth, what the society that you're going to, you take from the wealth of the wealthy people from those people, and you return it to the poor people from those people. And the reason why I'm mentioning this is because the poor people in the society where the zakat is taken have more right to that zakat than the people in another land. This is how some of the scholars have understood this expression in this hadith, to the end of the hadith. And here, this is the shahid in this hadith that we want to point to, yani in the sunnah that points to the obligation of zakat, is in this part of the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, teach them that Allah has made obligatory upon them concerning their wealth a sadaqah which is taken from their rich and given to their poor. Naam. You wanted to say something? Also, it can be related to the zakat of fitr too, but yani, originally the meaning here is in reference to zakat al-mal. In reference to zakat al-mal, first and foremost. Because in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, inform them that Allah has iftarada alayhim sadaqah fi amwalihim, in their wealth, that should be taken from their rich and given to their poor. But the principle is that the people amongst whom the zakat has been extracted is the people to whom it should be returned. That's the yani primary ruling. Walaykum salam. Although some of the scholars said, if the land where the zakat is extracted, where it's taken, if there are no people who are really in need in that place, and then there are people in other lands that are more in need, then there's no harm in sending it to another place where the people are actually in need, if the people in that land are not in need. But if the people in this land are in need, and the people in another land are in need, then the people in this land have more right, have first right, have first priority. What? Now?
Family members, what if they are in another land? Do they have rights over you, or do you give it to people that near you in the land you live in?
This view of the scholars, which appears to be the apparent meaning of the hadith, is that the people in the land where you are have first right. They have first right. That doesn't mean that other people in other land have no right, but it depends on so many factors. And then as far as family, there are other factors that we're going to talk about later on in this course. Yani in reference to family members who you are responsible for and family members who you're not responsible for. Because family members who you're responsible for, like if your parents are dependent upon you, or your children are dependent upon you, that you are the one who takes care of them, is prohibited for zakat to be given to those people who are dependent upon you, who you are responsible to take care of their needs. It's prohibited. And this is from the categories of people who is prohibited to receive zakat. Yani, the person who is responsible for their children, taking care of their needs, they can't give their zakat to their children, even if their children are in need. Because that's their responsibility, aslan. Okay, their parents don't have any employment or income, and they maintain their parents, they can't give their zakat to their parents. Okay, so this is another matter that inshallah we'll talk about. But yani, for now, yani, the general meaning is that, yani, the apparent meaning of the hadith is that the zakat should be taken from the rich people in any land or society and given to the poor people in that land or that society. This hadith that we just mentioned is Rawahu al-Jama'a, yani meaning, yani al-Bukhari and Muslim and Ahmed and the Kutub al-Sunan. Wa hadith, another evidence from the Sunnah hadith, Umirtu an uqatila an-nasa hatta yashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah wa yuqimu as-salat wa yu'tu az-zakat fa'idha fa'alu asamu minni dima'ahum wa amwalahum illa bihaqqiha wa hisabuhum 'ala Allahi rawahu Muslim. Yani, this hadith reported by Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih, it contains in it the words that also indicate the obligation of zakat. That is, the Prophet ﷺ saying, I have been commanded to fight the people until they bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad ﷺ is the messenger of Allah, and yani the establishment, وَيُقِيمُ السَّلَاةِ, they establish the prayer, وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةِ, and here this is the shahid in this hadith, and until they what? Give the zakat. I have been commanded to fight the people until they bear witness that nothing has deserved to be worshipped, nothing has the right to be worshipped except Allah and Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, and they establish the prayer and they give the zakat. فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا, so if they did those things, عَصَمُوا مِنِّي دِمَاءَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ, then their blood and their wealth is protected from me. Their blood and their wealth is protected from me. إِلَّا بِحَقِّهَا وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, except with its right. Yani, except that there's a right to take their wealth or to shed their blood, yani according to the Sharia. Unless there's something in the Sharia that dictates that this person be punished, yani by the laws of the Sharia. Otherwise, their blood and their wealth is protected. Except بِحَقِّهَا, yani, except if there's a right in the Sharia. وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, and the account, yani, of the people who after they bear witness to the shahadatain and they establish the prayer and the zakat, then the account is to be taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani yawm al-qiyamah. This hadith is reported by Imam Muslim, and this hadith is also a proof of what the obligation of zakat. And then we close this section by saying, وَأَجْمَعَتْ الْأُمَّةِ عَلَى فَرْضِيَّتِهَا وَكُفْرِ جَاهِدِهَا العالم بوجوبها. يعني أجمعت الأمة, يعني the entire Muslim Ummah have reached consensus, total agreement upon the obligation, فرضيتها, يعني the obligation of zakat. And also, secondly, there's إجماع, consensus of the Muslim Ummah concerning the كفر of جاهدها العالم بوجوبها. Yani, the one who denies the obligation of zakat while they know that it is obligatory. Yani, the person who knows. There's a difference here. The jahid who doesn't know. Maybe a person doesn't know. Maybe they're a new Muslim. They don't know that zakat. Nobody taught them. They just told them, you know, believe in Islam and pray with us and you're good to go. And nobody told them that it's obligatory upon your wealth, this zakat. They didn't know. So they said, I don't know about this obligation. I don't believe in this. I didn't accept that. And that's different. But we're saying what? That there's ijma concerning the kufr, disbelief of the person who denies it while knowing. Jahidiha al-alam biwujubiha. He knows it's obligatory and yet, and he denies it, he rejects it. He says, I'm not going for that. This person has fallen out of Islam into kufr. This is concerning the hukm of zakat. So to summarize, we can say, yani that, what is the hukum, yani the ruling concerning zakat? First and foremost, we say what? That it is? That it's farida, it's a rukun, yani it's a pillar from the pillars of Islam, and it is an obligation, yani the nature of this obligation is confirmed in the book, and in the sunnah, and in the ijma'. Because of that, There's no doubt about it. There's Quran, there's Sunnah, and there's Ijma. There's nothing left after that. Therefore, the one who denies its obligation, this person, is kafir murtad. He's kafir murtad. Because the ummah has agreed upon the obligation of zakat. Therefore, whoever rejects that, knowing that it is obligatory, this person has gone out of Islam. So, I mean, this is a very serious matter. We have one more point to mention here. Before I mention that point, I just want to say this. That zakat, the obligatory zakat, is to be collected by the Muslim authority. If there's no Muslim authority, we don't escape from the obligation. Yani people said, but there's no ruler, there's no Muslim ruler, so we don't have to give zakat. No, you have to give zakat. Because we know who are the people entitled to receive it. If there's nobody there to organize, to arrange, to facilitate it, then you're carrying that. Yani you know how much wealth you have. If you need help, somebody can calculate for you. And then, yani the categories are known. You have to make sure that that zakat is distributed. Yani it's obligatory upon us. We are Muslims. We don't escape from the obligation of zakat simply because we happen to be the unfortunate ones who are living in bilad al-kufr. And therefore there's no Muslim ruler, and therefore we don't have to fast, we don't have to pray, we don't have to do anything anymore. This is how some people read it. That's why some people said, we're in bilad al-kufr. We don't have to do this, we don't have to do that. No, it's still obligatory. That zakat is a right, haqqun. It's a right of the people who are entitled to receive it. And they don't get denied their right just because there's no Muslim ruler to collect it. Rather, it's upon you, and you will be called to account for it on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So I want to just say that so that yani we can realize the seriousness of this matter and not imagine that it's not really that serious. There's nobody here collecting it. Yani there's nobody reminding us. There's nobody forcing us. There's nobody compelling us. There's nobody facilitating it. It's too hard. I can't figure out all this stuff. I don't know who to give it to and all of that. Well, guess what? If you need some help, you better ask for some help, but it's an obligation. And it doesn't just get dropped just because you're in the land where there's no Muslim ruler.
That's on the individual himself, like you said, there's no ruler.
Then it's your own individual obligation to take care of this. Okay, so we should look at this carefully. And this study, this brief study of Kitab al-Zakat, yani should be a reminder to us of the importance of zakat and the obligation upon us and to take it seriously and to go out of our way to make sure that we fulfill this obligation. Okay, the third point here on page 55, turning to page 55, ثالثاً من تجب عليه الزكاة. من تجب عليه الزكاة. This is a very important issue, right? Meaning, yani the zakat is obligatory upon who? Who is it that is obligated to give this zakat? تجب على المسلم الحر المالك للنصاب. يعني it is obligatory upon the Muslim who is not a slave and who is the possessor of wealth that reached the minimal amount of nisab. يعني if a person is a Muslim and they are not a slave, they are free, and they possess wealth at least reaching the minimum amount, then it became obligatory on that person. Does that mean then that if a child has wealth, has $1 million, that they're also obligated to pay zakat? A four-year-old, a three-year-old, are they obligated to pay zakat? No. Are they a Muslim?
Yes.
Are they free?
Yes.
Do they possess the minimum nisab?
Yes.
So then they're obligated or not obligated?
They are obligated.
They are obligated. A child has $1 million in the bank, and they're 2 years old, they don't even know how to talk yet. Guess what? That wealth that they own has to pay zakat. And whoever is responsible for that child has to make sure that the zakat is paid on that wealth. That wealth has a right over it to the people who are in need. And it has to be paid, even if they're a child.
Because they didn't say
balig. They didn't say balig. We said Muslim, hur, malik, and nisab. We didn't say anything about they have to be adult. We didn't say anything about they have to be sane. We didn't say aqil. Right? Does that mean that a crazy person who has $1 million in the bank, they don't have to pay zakat? They have to pay zakat. Whoever is responsible for their money, their bank account, has to make sure the zakat is paid. Yani, this is very important. Because some people imagine, well, this is only a child. It doesn't matter. That wealth has a right over it that has to be taken. Even if they're a child. Even if they're insane. Even if they're whatever, whatever, whatever. As long as they're Muslim. As long as they're free. They're not a slave. And they have wealth that reached the minimum amount. Then they have to pay on it. Now, Abdul Hadi.
How much is
possible? We're going to talk about that, inshallah. Yani, the nisab is different for example, money, different for cattle, different for crops. So there's different amounts. But for money, generally, that's what we're talking about. Most of us don't have any crops. We don't have any cattle. We don't have any goats or sheep or camels, right? Most of us. But we have money, though. We have dollar bills, and we have gold and silver, and we have British pounds, and we have other types of currency. So, yes. Yani, we have to pay on it, okay? But we're going to talk about how much you have to pay. We're going to talk about how much is the minimum amount, inshallah, as we go along, right? Yani, the minimum nisab on it might be, yani, it's depending upon the value of gold and silver. So it fluctuates. It's not, yani, static. It's not stable. It depends on, and we have to compare it to the amount of zakat that's on gold or the amount of zakat that's on silver. And the best way to calculate it is depending on which one would be most. Yani, if you calculate according to the zakat on gold, and then you calculate according to the zakat on silver, whichever one of them comes to the greater amount, that's what you should pay. I hope you understand what I said. Because it's possible to calculate according to gold, it's possible to calculate according to silver, and they won't come out evenly to the same amount. So if you do that, you shouldn't say, oh, this one is a little bit less, let me use silver. I'm going to calculate according to silver. Or maybe gold may come out in some time in history. Yani, at different times, the values may fluctuate. So when you calculate, the amount might be a little bit different. But we should calculate in the interest of the people who are entitled to receive this wealth. We're going to come to that. We're going to talk about gold, and we're going to talk about silver, and we're going to talk about all the different amounts separately. But right now, what we're going to just say is that you're going to pay on the total amount.
Okay.
You're going to pay on the total amount. But we'll talk about that in detail when we come to them, right? Today, we just have an introduction, right? Okay. Tajibu al-zakat, tajibu al-muslim al-hur, al-malik lin-nisab. Yani, it's obligatory to give the zakat for the Muslim, the person who's Muslim, who's free, and who possess the nisab. Okay, so there are two things that we're going to be looking at here. For most of these different types of wealth, we're going to be looking at the nisab, what's the minimum amount for different types of wealth. And we're also going to be looking at, for many of them, we're going to be looking at, yani, the fact that it has to reach the minimum amount, and it also has to be in one's possession. At least not going under that minimum amount for a whole year. But we're going to talk about that as we come along, okay? Here, we just want to go and say further that يُشْتَرَتُ فِي النِّصَابِ أَنْ يَحُولَ عَلَيْهِ الْحَوْلِ إِلَّا فِي الزَّرْعِ فَإِنَّهُ تَجِبُ فِيهِ وَقْتْ جَنِيهِ يعني حصاد لقوله تعالى وَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِهِ سورة الأنعام 6 سورة 141st آية. يعني the meaning is, it's obligatory on the Muslim who's free, who possesses the nisab, but with a condition. Yani, the first condition, it has to be a minimum amount. Second condition, yushtaratu fin nisab. Yani, that if the person reached the minimum amount, and yahula alayhi al-hawl, that 1 year must pass over it. Yani, the person has to have that minimum amount for one whole year before it became obligatory. If before the year was out, they lost some of that money, they spent some of that money, it got away from them, however, whatever way, and the amount went down below the nisab, khalas, that's the end of the affair. It has to be for a whole year. Before that year finished, if they didn't have the nisab anymore, there's no obligation on them. يَحُولُ عَلَيْهِ الْحَوْلِ Except in agriculture. This is an exception to the point of what? The hawl. Yani, that has to be for 1 year, because we already said what? That it's obligatory at the time of its harvest. Based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am, 6 Surah 141st ayat, and give, yani, its right on the day of its harvest. Yani, the right on the agricultural products must be taken at the time when it's harvest. Once the harvest came, then it has to be, yani, fulfilled. Likewise, كَمَا يُشْتَرَتُ فِيهِ أَنْ يَكُونَ فَاضِلًا عَنَ الْحَاجَاتِ الدَّرُورِيَّةِ كَالْمَسْكَنْ وَالْمَطْعَمْ وَالْمَلْبَسْ وَالْمَرْكَبْ. Likewise, as a condition, yani, concerning this, that this amount of the nisab that a person has for a period of 1 year has to be separate and distinct from al-hajat al-dururiyya. What is al-hajat al-dururiyya? Necessities, hajat, the needs that a person have, which are not, yani, I need, you know, extra pair of shoes. I need an extra car. I need some extra things. No, hajat daruriyya, that are necessity, yani emergency, that you can't live without. The things that we can't live without, that are necessity, emergency, daruri, you can't live without them. Fadilan, yani fadilan, yani extra, above and beyond. Above and beyond the hajat al-daruriyya. يعني يشترط فيه أن يكون فاضلا يعني extra زيادة يعني زائدا عن الحاجات الضرورية يعني those needs or necessities that are يعني you can't live without كالمسكن والمطعم والملبس والمركب يعني like the house that you live in doesn't count. You have to have some place to live. That's not counted. Yani the food that you have to eat. A person has to eat. So, yani the money that they spend on their food is not counted as part of the that which zakat is taken from. That money is for necessities. Yani I have to eat. So that doesn't count. It has to be above and beyond your basic necessities. Your cost of your housing, your rent or whatever, your food, your clothing. You have to have clothing to wear. So a person has to have some money to spend on their clothing, money to spend on their housing, money to spend on their food, money to spend on their transportation, yani their car, their horse, their donkey, their bicycle, whatever it is, the train fare, the MTA card that I gotta go to work every day. That money for those things are basic necessities, don't count. That's not included. You can take that out, and everything that's above and beyond that is the amount that we're going to calculate to see does it reach the nisab, and if we keep it for 1 year. Huh? Yani, you can include that. If a person has debts, then that means, of course, if the money that they have doesn't belong to them, they're supposed to give it to the person they owe it to. Naam. So the same thing, that's part of your yani basic necessities. If yani this may need some clarification, yani some tafsil, okay? Because what if a person is in debt for $100,000 and every month they have to pay $5,000 from their income because they're in debt? For what though? For buying a summer home in Disneyland. No, that's different. We're talking about basic necessities. A person's in debt due to spending on their basic necessities, that's included. But if they're in debt because they're just a spendthrift, that's a different matter altogether. Yani, we're talking about basic necessities. A person is excused from their basic necessities. Now,
how about the person is paying somebody else's debt, like parents' debt?
In any case, if it's a debt that's due to basic necessities, yani something that a person is obligated, yani by necessity, they have no escape from, then that's upon them, they have to pay that. They're excused from that. They're excused from that. Wallahu alam. One last point, yani, here concerning the topic here, who it's obligatory upon and the obligation of zakat. I want to refer here just briefly to one of our secondary sources, and that is Al-Wajiz fi fiqh as-sunnah wal-kitab al-aziz. Here in Wajiz, I gave you the reference for it in the email to the class. On page 215, this topic comes under At-Targhib fi Ada'iha. Yani it's under the title of Manzilatuha fi Deen. They talk about the station or the status of zakat in the deen, and they mention what we already mentioned about it being a rukn from the arkan of Islam, that it's a farida from the faraid, and they mention the hadith, another hadith that we didn't mention, but also it's from the sunnah that indicates the obligation of zakat, buni al-Islam al-Khamsin. And in there it mentions ita zakat, the obligation of zakat. The title that I want to read from here is At-Targhib fi Ada'iha. At-Targhib fi Ada'iha. Yani, there's a very important point mentioned here under the title of At-Targhib, which is encouraging. Encouraging. The encouragement to fulfill the zakat. The encouragement to fulfill the zakat. Yani, this title caught my attention because I felt that, yani, somebody said to me recently that a person doesn't want to give up this money. I said, who wants to give up the money? We need to be encouraged to give up money. People don't just say, I just don't like money, let me just give it all away. So there has to be some encouragement, right? So when I saw this at Targhib, I said, yes, we all need some encouragement. Yani, some people are more quick to give than others. But the encouragement helps everybody. At Targhib. How about over-encouragement? How about it? They over-encourage? That might not be over-encouraged. That might be something else. But you're just using a polite word for it.
Oppression.
Oppression. That may be closer to what we're talking about. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about encouragement, yani, that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are in need of this because this is an obligation upon us. It's a lot of khair in it. Yani, it purifies your wealth and it purifies you from sins and it increases your wealth and it increases your reward. We need to be encouraged in this. We need encouragement for this zakat which brings so much good to us. So they mention qala ta'ala, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 103rd ayat, khudh min amwalihim sadaqatan tutahhiruhum wa tuzakkihim biha. We read this ayat already before, yani ordering the Prophet to take from their wealth the sadaqah, so that it will be a means of cleansing and purification of those people through the process of this, yani, charity. They mention, secondly, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Rum, 30th surah, 39th ayat. وَمَا آتَيْتُمْ مِنْ riba. Whatever you have given from riba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, whatever you all have given of riba, لِيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ, in order to get an increase from in the wealth of the people. Yani, people are doing riba for what reason? To get more money out of something, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَا يَرْبُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. It has no increase with Allah. وَمَا آتَيْتُمْ مِنْ زَكَاتٍ تُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُضْعِفُونَ. But as for that which you give from zakat, with the condition, تُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ, with the condition, yani, it's one thing to give zakat, but what is the niyyah behind that zakat? If a person gives zakat, and here Allah is making a condition on that the condition is that you have to be given that zakat, seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This one, or these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then these, they are those who will المضعفون, يعني تضعيف, your wealth will be multiplied, manifold, increased. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the difference between the people who want an increase through illegal means and the people who are looking for an increase through the legal means, that is, as zakat. Then we come to the hadith, and this is the hadith that, you know, I really wanted to read for us today, the hadith which is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. On the authority of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this hadith came with different wordings in Bukhari and Muslim. Rather, even in Muslim, in Bukhari, it came with more than one wording. But the meanings were the same. Although slightly different wording, even in Bukhari itself, yani, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man tasaddaqa bi adli tamratin. Man tasaddaqa bi'adli tamratin. Yani bi'adli bi'wazni tamra. Bi'qimati tamra. Yani the person who gives in charity that which is equal in amount bi'wazni tamra. Equal in the amount of a date. Or bi'qimati tamra. Or equal in value to the value of a date. Whoever gave charity like that. Yani bi'adli tamratin. Min kasbin tayyibin. Min kasbin tayyibin. Condition. That they gave even a small amount, but they gave it from that which has been earned lawfully. Yani kasb, earnings that are tayyib. Yani meaning halal. Meaning that was earned in the legislated way. What the way that Allah has made lawful. Their legal, honest, lawful earnings. وَلَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الطَّيِّبِ. And here the Prophet ﷺ said, and by the way, Allah doesn't accept, He doesn't accept from us anything unless it is طَيِّب. And in one of the narrations of Bukhari it says, instead of لَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهِ لَا يَصْعَدُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Meaning that nothing goes up to Allah except the طَيِّب. Nothing is accepted by Allah in one narration in Bukhari, and the other narration, nothing goes up to Allah of our, yani, charity, unless it's tayyib, yani, from the halal, yani, lawful means. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَتَقَبَّلُهَا بِيَمِينِهِ. In one narration, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَتَقَبَّلُهَا بِيَمِينِهِ. Yani whatever, whoever gives in charity, that which is equal in value or equal in weight, even to one date from their lawful legal earnings, and Allah doesn't accept anything except the tayyib, then indeed Allah accepts it. Biyaminihi. Meaning? With His right hand. Biyaminihi. Allah accepts it. Biyaminihi. ثُمَّ يُرَبِّيهَا لِصَاحِبِهَا. And then Allah يُرَبِّيهَا, يعني He multiplies it. يعني He cares for it. He tends to it until He multiplies it to many times over. يعني for the one who gave it. لِصَاحِبِهَا كَمَا يُرَبِّي أَحَدُكُمْ فَلُوَّهُ. In the same way that one of you nurtures, cares for, tends to his Yani pony, his horse, yani the newborn pony, that he takes care of it from the time it's born until he guards it, protects it, preserves it, nourishes it, disciplines it. He cares for it until it reaches until a full-grown horse that he's going to benefit from. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that kind of care to your sadaqah, meaning He multiplies it. He nurtures it, nourishes it until He multiplies it many times over. حَتَّى تَكُونَ مِثْلَ الْجَبَلِ. Until that sadaqah which you gave, which is in the weight or in the value or amount of a tamra, it became like the value or the weight or the reward of somebody who gave charity equal to a mountain. This hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. One note concerning this, and we're going to stop here. What time is it? Okay, so we still have 12 minutes. Okay. Here, I just wanted to give a fa'idah. What's a fa'idah? A benefit. Like we got a fa'idah in the beginning of this class from Sheikh Safiyur Rahman Mubarak Fouri. Here's another fa'idah that is tremendous also. Yani from Sheikh Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Abdullah Ibn Baz Rahimahullah Rahmatan Wasiya. In his Majmu'a Fatawa Muqalat, yani, it's in reference to this hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that indeed Allah will accept that charity in His right hand, and then He will nourish it, nurture it, multiply it for its, yani, the one who gave it, in the same way you nurture your pony until it reaches, yani, to the likeness of a mountain, yani, until it becomes, yani, its reward becomes like the reward of a person who has given charity or wealth equal to the size of a mountain. In reference to this hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يعني يتقبلها بيمينه, you know, in some hadith it came, this expression came, and in some of the narrations I remember Sheikh Abdullah, one of the scholars in Medina, I remember he was teaching Sahih al-Bukhari, and he came to a hadith of this meaning, and he mentioned to us يعني a long discussion about كلتا يديه يمين. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah accepts it in his right hand, and in some of the narrations of hadith, other than this hadith, it's mentioned that kilta yadehi yameen, yani that both of Allah's hands are right. In some narrations, it mentions ash-shimal also, and the Shaykh, he was explaining the difference between these narrations, both of them being authentic, that Allah is referred to Allah's left hand, and then there's also reference to the fact that both of Allah's hands are right hands. And the Shaykh, he was asked about this particular issue, Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Ibaz, and he said, all of them are authentic hadith, according to the scholars, the ulama of the sunnah. And the hadith of Ibn Umar is marfu'un sahih. Yani in the question that they asked him, they asked about a hadith that they said is mawqufun, but the Shaykh said, no, it is marfu'un. And they are both sahih, and there's no yani contradiction between them, walhamdulillah. فَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ تُوصَفُ يَدَاهُ بِالْيَمِينَ, yani that Allah, his two hands are both described as yameen. And in some places, shimal. يعني يمين وشمال من حيث الاسم, يعني the name يمين and شمال may be applicable to them as a name, as it came in the hadith of Abdul bin Umar, and in other narrations, وَكِلْتَاهُمَا يَمِين مُبَارَكُ, and both of them are يمين, are right, and they are blessed, من حيث الشرف والفضل, يعني the name, the word may be applicable to them, يمين and شمال, but in terms of honor and virtue and excellence, then both of them are yameen, and they are both blessed, as it came in authentic, other authentic hadith. وَكَمَا دَلَّ عَلَى ذَلِكَ قَوْلِ تَعَالَى وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَتْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ, and the heavens, they will be what? Rolled up in his right hand, in Surah Az-Zumar, 67th ayat, and in the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, يَمِينُ اللَّهِ مَلَآ لَا تَغِيضُهَا نَفَقَتُ, يعني الحديث, يعني that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his hand is full, and yani the spending, or his right hand is full, and spending doesn't decrease it in any way. And he's mentioning different narrations that came mentioning yani the hands of Allah, and he's saying here that the yameen is the opposite of shimal binas al-hadith, but what is intended here, al-maqsood min al-ayat wal-ahadith, is clarification that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does indeed have yameen and shimal from the perspective of the application of these words as names for hands. Amma min jihat al-fadl fakiltahuma yameen mubarak laysa fiha naqsun biwajh min al-wujuh bal lahu subhanahu wa ta'ala al-kamal al-mutlaq fi kulli shay'in بإجماع أهل السنة والجماعة وهم أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأتباعه بإحسان كما قال تعالى, and so on to the end of what he said. يعني the point here, the maqsood, يعني from what the Shaykh said, what is intended is that from the perspective of names that are applicable, then we can say Allah has yameen and shimal, as it came in some authentic hadith. As far as from the perspective of the excellence, the virtue, the superiority, from this perspective, both of his hands are yameen, both of them are mubarak, blessed, and there's no naqs in them, in either of them, biwajh min al-wujuh, in any way whatsoever, however you want to look at it. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one who has al-kamal al-mutlaq, absolute perfection in everything that is attributed to him. And this is by ijma of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whoever followed them in their way. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So, yani, the point of this, the mention here, of this statement from Sheikh bin Baz, is for us to know that in this hadith, where it came that Allah accepts in His right hand, well, indeed, yani, both of His hands are blessed, both of them are perfect, both of them are excellent and superior, and there's no defect in either of them. So even if the expression came authentically in some of the hadith, yameen and shimal, yani Allah's right hand and Allah's left hand, this is only from the perspective of differentiating between two hands. It's not from the perspective of one being superior and the other one being defective. Rather, Allah has absolute perfection, and both of His hands are blessed and perfect without any defect in any way whatsoever. So I just thought, yani, that this is also worthy of mention in this class of fiqh, that sometimes we look at some matters of aqidah that are very, very important for us to keep in mind. And this comes under the title of the study of what? Al-Asma wa Sifat. Yani, Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. Knowing that Allah has the absolute right to perfection in every way. Yani, there's no defect in anything that is ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether in His Asma al-Husna or in His Sifat al-Ula. Yani, indeed, all of His names are, yani, Husn, yani, good, perfect, yani, complete, without any defect, and His characteristics are the most high, yani, above everything and everyone else. This is what we wanted to mention today. Inshallah, in the next class, we're going to actually go into some of the categories of those things that are taxable. And the first category that they talk about are cattle, yani camels and cows and sheep. That's what we're going to start with. And yani, we're going to look at this in some detail. Probably, yani, most of us don't have any cattle, but maybe back home some of us might have some cattle. Huh? You have some cattle back home, mashallah. So whoever has some or knows somebody who has some, then we need to know that there's zakat, and how is it calculated, and what are the rules concerning this. And keeping in mind that zakat, like hajj, zakat is a pillar of Islam. It's an obligation upon the Muslim, yani, who meets these categories, and therefore we need to know about it. We should know about it even for ourselves or for others. Yani, if we don't have any money to pay zakat on, we're just poor people, well, we might be able to help somebody who has some money, and this would facilitate that the poor people get their right. Because if the rich people don't know the rules and regulations of zakat, maybe they won't be given it, or they won't be given it to those who deserve it, and that would be a tremendous musibah. So it's incumbent upon us to know it for our personal use and also to help others. May Allah, yani, help us to, yani, understand the importance of this topic of zakat, and, yani, to look at each category of zakat, not just the dollars and gold and silver, but all the categories of zakat. Even those categories about which there may be some difference of opinion, to look at those also and to know what is some of the difference of opinion about them, so that we are upon basira. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.